Public health officials are concerned about a certain species of biting mosquito discovered in Ashland. This kind of biting mosquito is known to spread serious diseases. Joining me in the studio to help us learn more is Andrew Pardon. He's a vector ecologist with the Jackson County Vector Control District. Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you very much for having me.
What do you want Ashland residents to know?
Well, we would like Ashland residents to know that just a few weeks ago, we discovered an invasive mosquito species, Aedes aegypti, in the southeastern portion of town, just south of Clay Street Park, kind of between Highway 66 and Siskiyou Boulevard. Mm-hmm. This is actually the second year in a row that we have found this particular mosquito species in the county. We first discovered it last year in the city of Talent, and that marked the very first time that this particular mosquito species has ever been found in the state of Oregon.
Okay, well, Andrew, I have to plead ignorant on how to find mosquitoes. I walk around and they find me. I don't know how you're finding this particular kind of mosquito. Explain that.
Well, Aedes aegypti, they're unique in a couple different ways, particularly when compared to our native mosquito species. So Aedes aegypti actually prefer to bite people. We are their preferred host, and that's actually quite different from our native mosquito species, which although they will feed, bite and feed on people, Aedes aegypti actually evolved to feed on people. So we're their preferred host. So we tend to find them in heavily residential areas, mm-hmm. so urban and suburban environments. They're very, very aggressive, persistent biters. They're often active during the day and early evening hours, which is by design because that brings them more frequently into contact with their preferred host, which is us. And in addition to that, they do have the capacity to transmit some pretty important diseases, including dengue fever, yellow fever, chikungunya, and Zika virus. However, we do want people to understand that in order for Aedes aegypti to transmit any of these diseases locally, it would take someone traveling from here in Jackson County, going abroad to somewhere where one of these diseases is endemic, becoming infected, traveling back to Jackson County, and while they're still viremic, being bitten by an Aedes aegypti mosquito here locally, which can then go bite the neighbor, and so on and so forth. So that is how these diseases could potentially be transmitted locally. But we want people to understand that we know that the risk of this particular scenario is low. Each year in Jackson County, we have very few travel-related cases of any of these diseases, but it nevertheless, it's something we want people to be aware of, and this is a mosquito population that we certainly want to keep track of.
Okay, now you say this mosquito is an invasive species. Where is it coming from?
Aedes aegypti is considered invasive, and an invasive species is one that, when introduced into a new area or a new environment, tends to spread quickly and aggressively. And invasive species are also typically associated with some sort of damage or harm to either the environment, the economy, or in the case of Aedes aegypti mosquitoes, to public health. But Aedes aegypti are actually native to Africa, but they've been established in several states in the southeastern United States since around the 15th century. So they've been present in the United States for several hundred years, but here in the last few decades, due to a variety of both environmental and human factors, Aedes aegypti, their range has really expanded westward. They became established in the Central Valley of California in 2013, and then by 2020, they could be found as far north as Redding, which is only 150 miles south of us, straight down Interstate 5. And now, at this point, Redding has a very, very well-established and quite robust population of Aedes aegypti. So that's really what we're trying to prevent here in Jackson County.
Okay, so what do they look like in comparison with other mosquitoes?
Well, they're a small mosquito, even by mosquito standards, but they have a very bright and highly contrasting black and white coloration on their legs and their body. But sort of the diagnostic, the best ID feature is a white lyre, and that's L-Y-R-E, like the musical instrument, but a white lyre shape on the top of their back. But like I said, as someone who looks at tens of thousands of mosquitoes every year, they're actually a pretty striking-looking mosquito. They look quite different from our native species.
You look at thousands of mosquitoes every year?
I look at tens of thousands, yes, very closely.
I didn't mean to shortchange you. Tens of thousands of mosquitoes. Now, mosquitoes are tiny and annoying. How are we going to identify this kind of Aedes aegypti?
Well, what I would say and what I would ask of people is, you know, if in your neighborhood you are experiencing any type of unusual mosquito activity, I mean, if you are seeing adult mosquitoes or being bitten by adult mosquitoes during the day or early evening hours, let us at Jackson County Vector Control District know. It's not so important that you can, you know, 100% positively identify the mosquitoes in your yard as being Aedes aegypti. We can come out, we can set a trap and identify, you know, what species you have, you know, on your property, in your yard. But what we really just want to have people know is that, like I said, if you're experiencing any of that unusual mosquito activity in your neighborhood, to let us know.
Okay, so is that how you identified this species here in Ashland?
Well, so as with the discovery of Aedes aegypti last year in Talent, we didn't receive any calls about it. What we are doing is, just since we know that we have such a large population of Aedes aegypti, you know, just to the south of us in Redding, we are doing a lot of proactive mosquito surveillance. So we have mosquito surveillance technicians that are going out into residential areas all around Jackson County and setting traps proactively. They're primarily going door to door, asking for permission to put mosquito traps in people's yards overnight to see what species we're getting. However, there's a lot of places to look. There's a lot of neighborhoods, there's a lot of homes, and we use certain criteria to sort of focus our search. But this is why it's really important and useful for us that, like I said, if you're noticing unusual mosquito activity around your home, to tip us off, to let us know.
Well, tell me about the habitat. Tell me what are they like that attracts them?
So the big thing with Aedes aegypti is the females, they will affix their eggs to the insides of essentially any water-holding container around your home or your property.
Okay, hold on just for a second, because I have an above-ground backyard pool.
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as you're maintaining that pool properly, it should not be producing mosquitoes. And this is kind of the challenge we faced in Talent last year. What we're really talking about are the things that you're filling up with your water hose every day. We're talking about plant pots, saucers, buckets, jars, that old, you know, bird bath or fountain that you filled up but you forgot to clean out. Clogged gutters, things like that. Aedes aegypti do not breed in natural water sources. So in Talent, people were thinking, oh, you know, the orchards or irrigated pasture or the, you know, irrigation canals, but that's really not what we're talking about. Aedes aegypti, they reproduce exclusively in any small little artificial water source, like I said, around your home or property. So you really have to think small. It's really about the things that you're filling up with your water hose every day, and you're just letting that water sit for several days at a time.
Gotcha. My guest is Andrew Pardon, a vector ecologist with the Jackson County Vector Control District. Biff in Ashland asks, is there any concern about Lone Star ticks? They say they know someone in Medford bitten by one that developed alpha-gal syndrome.
Yeah, that's a red meat allergy that's is caused by the Lone Star tick. That's primarily something that's been found on the East Coast and in the central part of the country. We really haven't seen them spreading this far west yet. We have a pretty robust tick surveillance program as well in Jackson County. So there's a couple different tick species that we go out and we collect thousands of every year, and we do test them for diseases such as Lyme disease, tick-borne relapsing fever, anaplasmosis, all sorts of fun stuff. But currently, we're not on high alert in regards to the Lone Star tick, but we do monitor its progress as that range does somewhat tend to expand.
Okay, so let's get back to this biting mosquito that bites during the day. What are they doing at night?
Well, they will bite during the night as well. But as I said, Aedes aegypti, they've really evolved to feed on people. Like I said, and with us being their preferred host, they need to be up and active when people are active. So it's by design that, like I said, unlike a lot of other mosquito species, these are awake during the day in the early evening when people are out watering their plants or doing their gardening or walking the dog, anything like that.
And that's when they start hunting.
Yes, and like I said, they're they tend to bite low on the body, around the ankles to avoid detection. They will bite multiple times. Like I said, they're very aggressive, very persistent biters.
Okay, well, how will someone know if they've been infected after a mosquito bite? What are the symptoms?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the initial symptoms that are involved with many of these diseases, it's like a lot of other things, those cold and flu-like symptoms. So like I said, typically we say play it safe. Like I said, if you're experiencing any cold, flu-like symptoms, body aches, headaches, anything unusual, go and see your medical provider.
Well, it's interesting because my wife just this morning said she thought she got bitten by a mosquito and she had a small welt on her upper arm. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Well, different people react to mosquito bites in different ways. I mean, a small welt on the arm, that's probably for her just a normal, localized allergic reaction to it. But like I said, if you're experiencing mosquitoes and mosquito bites, and you do start to develop any of those, cold flu-like symptoms, go see your doctor.
Okay, so if I suspect that my kid has been bitten, how will I know?
Yeah, well, kids can be tricky. I have a couple young kids of my own. So, like I said, but you're looking for those same symptoms, okay. Really. So, if they're, complaining about anything like that, any unusual, pains, go see your doctor. And like I said, and we have an extensive, monitoring program here in Jackson County for, West Nile, which is by far the most common mosquito-borne illness. We do know that here in Jackson County, even West Nile is fairly uncommon, especially this year. It's been a very light year for West Nile virus. We have screened close to 600 mosquito pools this summer, and we've only had one pool positive for West Nile virus. So, like I said, we know that it's that threat to public health from mosquitoes is there, but like I said, it's still not likely to contract an illness from one.
Okay, and if someone wants to get in touch with your department, what should they do?
Well, you can just Google search Jackson County Vector Control District. We have a very nice revamped website where you can easily find our office number. You can email JCVCD for Jackson County Vector Control District .gov. And like I said, we are very responsive to calls and emails. Like I said, we can come out and do service requests, property inspections. So, if you're having an issue, reach out. We also have a good Facebook page that we're also very active on as well.
Okay. So really quick, how'd you get this kind of a job? I've never even heard of a vector ecologist.
I had not either. I was... I'm a wildlife biologist by training. I got a degree in fish and wildlife science from North Carolina State in 2007. So I worked for the U.S. Department of Agriculture as a wildlife biologist for nearly 10 years before my family relocated to Oregon, and I kind of fell into this job. But it's been fantastic.
Excellent. Well, that's all the time we have for this segment. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to come speak about this.